Our buddy Bud Elliott, TomahawkNation.com. You can follow him on Twitter. Always got something cooking. Spring football right now and the prospects of some big ball games coming up. Bud, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. Let's start with the future, way off in the distance. But you were the first that put it out there and kind of give us some details. But the possibility is for Florida State to play Alabama and Auburn in the next handful of years, which, man, I know Southern football fans would love.
Yeah, you know, Florida State is looking into to playing more neutral site games, particularly early in the year, because they are making those renovations and changes to Doak. So if you have those season opening games and you happen to have construction delay, maybe from a project you're working on over summer, then you have a little bit of a buffer there as opposed to opening with, say, a September 1st game at home. So the one that we're real confident is going to happen in is Florida State versus Alabama to open the 2017 season in the new Georgia Dome. Falcons are finishing up that stadium, and that should be a really, really awesome game. A game I know that the Atlanta Sports Council up there, which is in charge of the Chick-fil-A opener, has been wanting to get for a long time. So we worked our sources on that, and they're very confident that's going to get done. And the other one that they think can get done but is not nearly as certain would be 2019 in Jacksonville against Auburn. Now, some people are now reporting that might be 2018, but Florida State already plays Notre Dame in 2018 away from Tallahassee. So I'm going to stick with my 2019 for now and trust my sources on this. But, man, that would be two really awesome games against the two most recent national champions to come from the SEC.
You know, Bud, that would be fantastic, man. And, look, I'll be honest with you. I've kind of poo-pooed Florida State's schedule in recent years, and not all of it's their fault because of the conference they play in. But they added Ole Miss. They appear to add Alabama. They played Oklahoma State this past year. In your opinion, is there anything that has led to Florida State adding more of these really quality non-conference opponents here recently?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a shift with the quality of games on week to week. You know, you have less people wanting to attend games really nationwide. You have all but a very select few schools not looking to expand or perhaps looking to contract and make more premium seating options within their stadium. And I think that you're continually battling this battle against HD television. You know, if you have the nice cable package and a 60-inch at home, you can flip from great game to great game to great game. And we do in the press box at times. If Florida State is playing some junk opponent, a lot of times we'll go out and get a Diet Coke and watch the conclusion of, say, the Bama at Ole Miss game last year. I remember we were doing. I think that definitely matters some. And then also, Miami has traditionally been their second toughest opponent, with Florida typically being the first. But, it's been a decade now for the Hurricanes in the ACC, and I'm not trying to rip on them. But at the same time, you really can't count on them to be that level of opponent that they were now as they were for the previous two decades. So I think this is perhaps a move to ensure greater schedule strength down the line.
You're talking about... Talking to Bud Elliott from Tomahawk Nation. Bud, last week you were tweeting out Jimbo and his presser, and you had to correct me on some stuff because I didn't know where to look for stuff. But anything out of those out of that press conference came as a surprise? Did he say anything that took you by surprise a little bit?
Not a huge surprise, but it surprised me a little bit that he opened up. I think his second line in the presser either said the word young or teach, and he said those two words over and over and over again. And indeed, I think if you were to take and let's say rank your best players on this team, what about 11 out of your 15 are probably first or second year players. I think that speaks to probably the true age, if you will, of this team. They do have some upperclassmen for sure, about 25 juniors and seniors total. But for the most part, your impact players are first and second year guys. So he's going to have a lot of youth. And with youth comes variance and inconsistency, especially when you're replacing now 30 draft picks most likely in the last 3 years. So it's going to be a spring where I think it's going to be a tough spring and a spring with a whole lot of patience required of this coaching staff.
We're talking with Bud Elliott, TomahawkNation.com. And don't you get the feeling like this is one of those springs where Jimbo's going to have to read them the riot act a couple of times. They're going to have to dress them down, tell them they've done nothing, that type of thing, to get them in that mindset to go forward. Do you get the feeling he's going to employ that coaching strategy?
Yeah, I think he definitely will. And I think if you read between the lines, not only of his opening presser, but also some of the more recent presser, I think last year's team was missing something in terms of chemistry and perhaps work ethic. And Fisher has made it definitely a point this year to talk about how he likes how this team works together and how they have all this chemistry. And that could be a cover for maybe not saying things like, hey, they're really talented and really good. But I tend to believe that he does think this team has better chemistry. And I don't think it's going to be as good as last year's team by any stretch. But I do think that he's trying to instill in them the work ethic required to be a champion, not this year, but probably down the line, because you had so many of those guys who were in that program in 11 and 12 and 13 and then left after 13 or left after 14, that most of these young guys have never really been called upon to be great contributors, and they may not know the kind of work and commitment that it takes to play on a national championship team.
You know, Bud, Florida, it's been 6 years since Tim Tebow left Gainesville, and Florida hasn't replaced him yet, amazingly enough. I don't think Florida State's going to suffer that same fate. They got a lot of good young prospects. But how is that process going in replacing a Tebow caliber player like Florida State had in Jameis Winston?
It's rough. I mean, I think that Jimbo Fisher has a great track record with quarterbacks, but nobody over there is going to tell you that they think Sean McGuire is going to be a guy who's going to start 1 year and then head off to the NFL or anything like that. And I think that there's a sort of underlying feeling that, hey, J.J. Costantino, who's a redshirt freshman, has better physical skills, both arm and legs, than Sean McGuire, who's a redshirt junior. But yet Jimbo keeps praising McGuire, and it seems from all indications as of right now that McGuire will be the starter. So you're left with the question, why? Why is a guy with lesser physical tools ahead on the depth chart of a guy with pretty clearly better physical tools? And I mean, if it's not the physical, it's got to be the mental side of things, right? So that's a little bit disappointing, I think, for a lot of fans, because the physical tools they can see based on his recruiting film and based on the fact that he's, 6'5 and a half, 235, and a really good athlete at that with JJ, aren't necessarily translating into him taking the starting job at this point. So it's, I expect a big time step back.
Of all the early enrollees, who do you think will have the best chance of contributing early and right away?
Are we going to count Derwin James?
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Okay, all right, then definitely Derwin James. He's already been told by the coaches to tone it down in practice. I guess he laid out a walk-on the other day, just not trying to hurt the kid, just being just really, really physical and 6'2 and 212 and looking like a college senior at this point, despite the fact that he's a freshman. And that's a kid who I don't think he would have started Florida State last year, but I honestly believe that if he could have skipped his senior year of high school, he would have played meaningful snaps on that defense somewhere. So to get him in is really pushing those two seniors, Nate Andrews and Tyler, or two upperclassmen rather, Nate Andrews and Tyler Hunter at the safety position.
Getting back to Costantino real quick, do you worry about his knowledge of the playbook? Because Jimbo tried to, and you can tell me because you probably heard it, tried to kind of dispel that notion that he does have a good grasp of the playbook.
Yeah, I do, because I think that if his grasp of the playbook was similar to that of McGuire's, and his ability to throw with anticipation and know who's going to be open and when they're going to come open was similar to McGuire's, I believe his physical talents would carry the day and win out. But yet McGuire is still taking all the reps with the ones. So Jimbo can praise him for his progress with the playbook, but yet I have to believe, just based, I know the difference in their physical talents, I have to believe that the difference between them at this point is in their mental talents and their knowledge and understanding and comfort level in the offense.
Bud, we're still 3.5 months away from the media days and obviously, 5 months away roughly from the games beginning to kick off.
So it's Pinehurst this year. We get to play Pinehurst.
That's right,
today,
yeah. You and Coward will enjoy that, certainly. I guess the ACC as a whole this year, Bud, coming up, Clemson, Georgia Tech, Miami, Louisville. The ACC has been down for so long, yet, man, you look at these teams and the guys that these teams are bringing back, this could be a pretty good year in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
It could, particularly with the quarterbacks. And last year was the year where pretty much everybody else in the conference had lost their quarterbacks, and Florida State brought back Jameis. So the pick for the conference was really pretty easy. This year, Florida State loses its quarterback, but aside from Boston College, who loses Tyler Murphy, who was really good for them in that kind of running role that they used him in, most everybody else brings back their quarterbacks. So Brad Kaye is back in Miami. Deshaun Watson is back in Clemson. Virginia Tech probably will be a little bit better just by virtue of not suffering so many defensive injuries on what's typically a really good defense there in Blacksburg. It could be a nice year for the conference, and I think the top of the conference has been better of late, really. Clemson beat Ohio State in the Orange Bowl 2 years ago. They thumped Oklahoma recently. They pretty much held their own in the non-conference. Last year to finish out the year, you had FSU over UF. You had Georgia Tech beating Georgia in that crazy game. And then you had Clemson beating South Carolina as well. So I think the conference is slowly moving forward, but there's a bit of a ceiling there because you have all these SEC schools that just invest so much in their programs. And you're just – most of these second-tier ACC schools are not going to recruit on the level of the second-tier SEC school.
Yeah, I think that's it, right? That's right on the nail on the head right there. It's the bottom half that we probably focus in on when we throw the darts. All right, dude, appreciate it as always. TomahawkNation.com. Check him out there and on Twitter. Thanks, bud.
All right, guys. Take care.